Over 1 million people all over the world watched the free preview. And this was not done by a major production company. It was done by Bethel, or sponsored by Bethel Church. And it's exploding. So we're seeing God at work, and he's changing lives through this type of media. So it's exciting to be a part of that and to pray for that and see that. So when we say draw people out, use them, hey, come to a movie night, outdoor movie night, weather permitting, it's going to be great. We're very, very excited about what God is doing in our country, in our area, in our body. So excited about that. Right now, would you raise your Bibles with me? And if you need a Bible, just raise your hand, and our usher will hand them to you. Let's give God glory for his word. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. Well, with those same Bibles, I would like you to turn to John 16:8 and just put a little marker there. John 16:8. We started a couple of weeks ago a series on hearing the voice of God, hearing God's voice and breaking through any barriers. There are four categories, as we've been talking about. You hear God through the Holy Spirit. You hear God through his word. You hear him through people, and you hear him through circumstance. And we spent the first 2 weeks talking about hearing God through the Holy Spirit. And first week we talked about in worship, which we would encourage you, again, for reclamation. That's, you will hear him if you are here. His presence is powerful. Last week we talked about hearing his audible voice, whether it's that still small voice in your heart or a loud audible voice, because it's scriptural. So today, what we are going to talk to, we're going to complete this first category of hearing God through the Holy Spirit. Now, when we get into the other three categories, I mean, the Holy Spirit is prominent throughout it all. We could never say, this is the Holy Spirit and we're done. He's prominent through it all, but that's why it was important to lay this foundation first, that it is the Holy Spirit, his foundation, that God speaks through in all these ways. So I want to give a chance right now, because we've talked for 2 weeks, and I want to hear a couple of brief, minute or two testimonies, as you've been charged over the last 2 weeks to purposely make an effort to listen to God speaking to you. And I want to give you an opportunity to kind of give a testimony to that. I'd like you to come forward. I want to give you a microphone, because we want to record this. It's important for those who will listen to it on through the website and other means to do it. So, Eric shared with me something yesterday that was just amazing, and God, how God's speaking to him, and I wanted him to just make sure this is working. There you go.
Hope I can make it through this. It's going to be pretty tough. I actually was privileged enough to have two experiences with the Lord. One was actually last Sunday in church here. Mike opened up the church to prayer, if you had anything to let go. And I put my head forward, and I heard a noise come into church, sat down next to Mike here. I looked up, there was nobody there. I felt a hand placed in between my shoulder blades, and a cold sensation went down the center of my back, right down my legs, and right out the tip of my toes. And then the second was Thursday night, we had Bible study at our house, and went to bed Thursday night, and 2 o'clock Friday morning, after having a good night's sleep, because the night before I didn't have a good night's sleep because somebody decided to go down the street, I forget what time it was, 11 o'clock at night, with a loud motorcycle. And an hour later after that, somebody decided to come down playing Rocky Balboa music as he's running up and down the steps of Philadelphia. So I woke up Friday morning at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I felt like a Mack truck was being pushed into my stomach. I'm like, this ain't right. This is not normal. I don't know what's going on. I felt pretty good when I went to bed, and I just laid in bed, and I was like ignoring it. And it was getting more intense, more intense, more intense. So, okay, this ain't right. So I went into the bathroom, and I sat down, and I said, okay, what's going on? And I actually heard a voice in my head from the Lord. You know, I said, what do you want? I said, there's something going on here. I don't know what's the matter. Is there, you know, every time I questioned him and, like, challenged him, I had a hot burning sensation through my entire body. And I said, what do you want, Lord? I said, I'm trying to get a good night's sleep. I said, I'm not going to be able to go to work tomorrow. You're disturbing my rest. I got to be able to go to work. So he said, well, I want you to pray. I said, you want me to pray? I said, okay. So I said, well, what do you want me to pray for? He says, I want you to pray for your foster child, Al Tariq. I said, okay. So I sat there, and I prayed for about a good 15, 20 minutes this went on for. And like I said, every time I questioned him, I had the burning sensation. And then when I did what he wanted me to do, it was a cold, tingly feeling. And after about 15, 20 minutes of this, it felt like it was all gone and all better. So I said, okay, I'm going to go back to bed now. So I went back to bed, and sure enough, it came back. So I said, okay, you're not finished yet. So I went back into the bathroom, I sat down, and I continued to pray a little bit more. And it lasted for about another 5 to 10 minutes after that, and then I went back to bed, and I said, I don't know how I'm going to get to fall asleep now. You woke me up out of a good night's sleep, and I'm not going to be able to go to work because I'm not going to feel good when I get up in the morning. Lo and behold, within 5, 10 minutes later, I was out like a light, back to that good night's sleep that I had. I woke up the next morning, nothing wrong, stomach was all better, went back to work, Friday, and had a good day. So, praise the Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. God is working. Is there another person who had God speak to them in a new way this week as they purposely sought to hear his voice that they'd like to testify about briefly? Sharon?
It's not too new.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Cool beans. Okay. Well, God's been talking to me all my life. Okie dokie, sorry. So God's been talking to me all my life, and you know, those crazy people that you think that, you know, they're just talking to themselves, well, they're really not. The funny thing, though, is God comes to me for some reason this way. I don't know why. But it became apparent to me yesterday, you know, even though I kind of knew it, but that God speaks to me through children. And I love babies, I love children, and yes, even my own, yeah. So, but you know, whenever I get mad or I feel like I'm gonna, you know, having like a fight with somebody or like, you know, I'm mad at somebody, and then, you know, then God's just saying to me, yeah, well, you're really hurt, or you're really this, and he talks me out of it. And, but yesterday, you know, I really was starting to lose it in the hospital, and mommy needed to go to sleep, so I went downstairs, and lo and behold, I hear children's voices, which I'm like drawn to like a magnet. And you know, now I know why, because God's like, I'm right here, like I'm just in this little person who's so cute. And had like the best time of my life for an hour, you know, and first like, you know, like full joy with these two adorable children who spoke English and Polish and Spanish. And we had multiple conversations about lots of things, and of course Minnie Mouse. And it was just really a joy because he knew I needed that break. And so instead of saying, okay, well, I'm going to freak you out and just like talk to you, like, you know, out loud, because I'm just used to talking to him right here, he talks to me through the children. And he does. And that's how he comes to me. And I think that's just awesome. So I thank him for that.
Amen. 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 God is good. God is faithful. He is speaking. But are we listening to what he's saying? But if you haven't, I pray that by the end of today, you will be compelled to really pray. purposely seek his voice, seek to hear what he's saying to you. But today I want to go into the other three areas regarding the Holy Spirit speaking to us and hearing God through the Holy Spirit. First I want to touch on is prompting. Talked about through worship, through voice, direct voice, one way or another, and now through prompting. There's not going to be PowerPoint today, so you're just going to have to follow along on your notes and your Bibles. Prompting. The Holy Spirit prompts us. God prompts us. He speaks to us by prompting. Prompting is to basically encourage forcibly someone in some way, one shape, in one way or another. When I read you John 14:26, says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Holy Spirit will remind you of what God has already spoken to you about. So when you're in a situation and you're not sure which direction to go, and all of a sudden scripture comes back, or something you read comes back, or something that you was spoken to you about by through someone or through in worship or whatever other means comes back to the forefront of your mind, God is prompting you to do this. God is prompting you. This morning, I was in my prayer time, and I kind of was stuck, believe it or not. I'm sitting there trying to listen to what the Lord is saying to me, and all of a sudden, he prompted me by giving me 1 Corinthians 15:2. I did not remember, but I saw that. I felt that that's where I need to turn to. So I turned to 1 Corinthians 15:2, and that God began to then speak to me through that, through what he wanted me to know for today in my life. But he prompted me. The Holy Spirit brought this back. He brought something to remembrance that I had already known, that I had already read, but he expanded. He spoke to me about it. He moved me in that way. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Last week we touched on at the very end, and Eric mentioned it again a little bit, how the stomach, it seems like when God, Holy Spirit, is prompting you to do something and we don't do it, it's a stomach thing, especially when it comes to prophetic word. Your stomach gets tied up in knots. You know, other things that you just, maybe you can't shake the thought of something. When God speaks to you to do something, not going to do it, God. I'm going to just move on. Maybe if I ignore it, it'll go away. But you can't run away from it. The Holy Spirit is continually placing on you. You know, "For nothing was produced by man's will, but by God, but by the Spirit of God. Carried away, led in the Spirit of God." See, when God is really trying to make something clear, it's going to be there. And you know what it is? When we don't follow through, even when your stomach starts turning or other things, that we're actually in sin because we're denying God. And just in the same light, we're also denying ourselves the blessing. The blessing that can come through us in whatever God is having us do, but also the blessing that we receive when we allow God to move through us. We miss out on such a blessing. So think to yourself. Recall situations or times when you really felt like you should be doing something, and maybe you did it, maybe you didn't, but you knew you just had to do it. Maybe it was something you had to say to someone. Maybe it was an action we needed to take. The Holy Spirit prompts us because it comes from the heart of God. And you know, when we're seeking the heart of God, he's going to speak to us from his heart. But are we going to listen? Are we going to move? Are we going to be obedient in this? Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So you're prompted to get up. You're prompted to move. You're prompted to pray. And you don't know where to go. You don't even know what's going on. But you just pray. You just pray. And you just pray. You don't know who or what, but you're praying. You're just moving. There was a night about 5 years ago. The Holy Spirit woke me up in the middle of the night. Or actually, wouldn't let me go to bed, I should say. As tired as I was. And all night, I sat in bed trying, couldn't, but I was praying. And I didn't know who I was praying for, this prayer, or how it would come out. But I was praying. Then I got up out of bed, and I was walking in my bedroom back and forth. I literally was up the entire night. At 4 o'clock, I was so filled with energy and restlessness, I went to work out while I was praying downstairs. And then I was still up praying and didn't know who or what or half the time what was coming out of my mouth. Till several weeks later, God revealed by showing me what happened, seeing the evidence of the prayer. When the Holy Spirit prompts you, our job is not to argue with God. And I'll be the first to tell you. I'll be sitting in my car, Holy Spirit speaking to me about something. But what about this? Shut up, Mike. Do it. But what about that? You're going to question me? You know, you start, okay, God, I'll do it, you know. It might be uncomfortable. It might be out of my comfort zone. It might not make any sense. Like, how am I going to be up the whole rest of the day and function at work if I'm up all night? But God does it. He prompts us. He moves us. The next area the Holy Spirit moves is through conviction. This is a biggie. God speaks to us through conviction. John 16:8 says, "And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." He is referring to Jesus here. But you know what? Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, Spirit of God. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, the Helper, to convict us. Now, how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? How do we hear the voice of God? Through conviction. Conviction is not all bad. There's positive things, and that falls in the realm of peace. When the Holy Spirit puts something on my mind and my heart and puts it in front of me, and I follow through and I have a peace about it, that's a positive conviction. If I have an inner peace about what I am doing, even when everyone around me says, "What are you doing? You shouldn't be doing this," I've got to follow it. Colossians 3:15 says this, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." See, most of us think of conviction as a troubled spirit inside of us, that God is leading us and we're denying Him and we're just like, but conviction comes with that peace. Many years ago, dealing with a legal situation, I can tell you I had to go to court and I had to be the one to initially start the court proceedings. Everyone told me, everyone, "You will not win. You can't. Makes no sense whatsoever. Even legally, on paper, there was no chance." But the Holy Spirit kept saying, "Trust me. Trust God in this. Honor God, and God will honor you." He kept giving me that peace in the midst of that tumultuous situation. Long story short, God's hand was in every step of the way, and to the point where it became a testimony where people couldn't believe how the result came about, because only God could have done that. But I had to be faithful and be at peace with God. I have to follow the peace of my heart that God has placed. Even when everyone around me and every logical reason said, there's no way. There's no way. So listen to your heart. As you pray for circumstances, as you pray for situations, listen to the peace that comes about. Because God is an author of peace, not confusion. The other guy brings the confusion. Okay? If you're confused, question it. Why am I confused? And now that's the time when we need to be still and know that He is God and listen. So He comes in peace, as well as if I am supposed to follow through in something and don't, I'm not going to feel good about it. It's going to burn inside me. It's going to eat away. And here's the crazy thing. Some of the results in the physical realm of conviction where I am not being obedient to what the Holy Spirit's leading me is actual physical sicknesses, whether it's your stomach or anything else. Sometimes we even become bitter because our guard is up and defensive and we become aggressive and, you know, hi Mike, how are you? What do you want? You know, it's that kind of attitude because we know we're supposed to do something. We know we're supposed to follow through on something. God is leading in a way, and we're purposely running away from that. Purposely avoiding that. Holy Spirit is pressing on your heart. He's pressing, and you're fighting Him. And you're fighting Him. You will get depressed. You will become anxious. You will start to experience stress. All those things will start happening. When the end result, the outcome could be so easy if you simply say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I don't feel like it. I don't want to do it. It's uncomfortable. It's taking me out of my comfort zone. It's not something I'm used to doing, but I submit myself to you, Lord. I'll do it. I'll take a step of faith. I'll be bold about this move. And then that peace then comes about you. That peace begins to overwhelm you. I want to read you a story in the book of Acts about John, about Paul. Acts 21, verses 3 through 14. And I'm going to skip a couple of verses to the end. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go to Jerusalem. So the people were warning Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Why? When he had taken our leave of another, we boarded the ship and they returned. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, this is Luke writing this, both we and those from that place pleaded with Paul not to go to Jerusalem. But then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but to also die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he would not be persuaded, they started saying, the will of the Lord be done. They gave up training. So here people were warning him, don't go because we know the Holy Spirit showed us bad things were going to happen to you in Jerusalem. And then a prophet even came by and took Paul's own belt and tied him up with his own belt. The prophet tied his own hands together and feet and said, hey, whoever owns this belt is going to be bound like this and delivered to the people in Jerusalem. So God was speaking, but he was warning, being honest, and God is an honest God. But you know what? The convictions of Paul, because he knew what needed to be done. He knew he had to go to where he would be uncomfortable. And he had a peace about it. He had such a peace about it that he said, I'm not only ready to be bound, I'm ready to die for the sake of the kingdom of God. He had that peace. There was no confusion. So that his own convictions were strong in what he needed to do for the kingdom of God. If he would have said, okay, let's go somewhere else, I don't think his heart would have been right. His heart would have been burning because he would not have been obedient to his convictions. And that's what God does sometimes. So there's the convictions through peace, and then there's conviction through just being so internally uncomfortable that you know you got to get something right because something is not right with God. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to you and something is not right. Symptoms of that, of convictions, is when we start to rationalize why we're not being obedient, start to make excuses for not being obedient. We start to come up with other things to do. Oh, but I've got to do this and I'm responsible for that. If God is placing a burden on our heart and speaking to us about it, our job is to simply be obedient. We need to listen. Listen to this. Because what did Jesus say? I give you my peace. Not as the world, but my peace. The peace that passes all understanding. In other words, human cognition. You listen to my heart's voice speak to you. Finally, there's dreams and visions. Dreams and visions. Yes, the Holy Spirit, God speaks to us through dreams and visions. And this is a powerful tool that God uses. My wife started keeping a journal next to our bed so that when she has a dream, she was going to write it down so she doesn't forget it, so that we can do those things. Joel 2:28 says this, I will pour out my spirit upon all. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. I refuse to accept that. And your young men will see visions. I accept that. I refuse to accept that just being old is the only way to see dreams. But we are going to be seeing dreams and visions. Job 33:14 through 16 says this, for God speaks again and again. Though people do not recognize it, he speaks in dreams, in the visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds. He whispers in their ears and terrifies them with warnings. Amen. He speaks in dreams and in visions. I want to share with you two personal testimonies, because I always tell you, everything I share up here is something God is teaching me that I'm sharing with you. It's not like do as I say, not as I do thing. This week, I had a couple of interesting times with the Lord. Last Sunday morning, I went to, again, spend time with the Lord, got on my couch, open up my Bible. God said, just put your Bible down, put your notebook down, and just close your eyes and get into my presence. So I did. All of a sudden, while I was awake, but with my eyes closed, he gave me a vision. You know what that vision was? I saw a man on top of a hill, inside a cave, on top of a great big mountain, actually. And the mountain cave that was at the very top had an opening about this big at the very bottom. And the man was trapped in the cave. And as I looked, I saw that man turn into water, and the water came out of that cave like a waterfall. Because he couldn't get out of that cave and down the mountain while he was in human form. But as living water, he was able to go underneath. And when I've been asking the Lord about that all week, you know what he said to me? When you go on your own strength, whether it's in the church, because water represents the Holy Spirit. You're going to be stuck. But when you let your Holy Spirit work, it's going to pour out. Pour out. And then on Wednesday morning, same thing. I'm sitting there, and I knew the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. 15 minutes went by. Nothing. Nothing. I'm going, okay, God, I know you got something for me. I know you got it. I'm not letting go. I thought about two things. I thought about Jacob wrestling with God, that he was not going to let go of that angel, even with a dislocated hip, till he got the blessing. So I'm like, Lord, I'm not stopping. This takes all day. I'm staying here. I'll miss work till I get what you have for me. You know. And then I remembered what I shared with you last Sunday with young Samuel, when Eli, the priest, said to him, when God calls you, say, here I am, Lord, speak. Your servant's waiting to hear. So I started outwardly saying that. Here I am, Lord, speak. Your servant's waiting to hear. And then all of a sudden, I felt myself going into a type of a trance type thing. And I hate to use that word because it's really, I don't want you to think too mystical stuff, because it's not. But I saw myself, an angel come take me to that top of a mountain again. And in that mountain, saw four stones that were placed. And I don't know if anyone watches soccer, but you know, corner kick, the kicker comes around like in a semicircle and kicks the ball. Well, I saw the angel corner kick every one of those stones out from the top of the mountain, and it just goes, just went, till it disappeared in the sky. All four of them. And I asked the Holy Spirit, what are you trying to say? Well, I've shared with you that my heart is to change this world. How? That's up to God. But to change this world for the kingdom of God. And he said to me, this is you changing the world, making a difference. This is what God is doing through you, one way or another, spreading to the four corners of this world. I know this is big, but this is God. I'm not going to worry about the how. That's God. I'm just thankful for those things. But he speaks, and I'm purposely placing myself to do those things. And I want him to move. Want him to move. Judges 7, 13 through 15 says this. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. So Gideon showed up as one guy was telling another guy his dream. And then beginning verse 13, he says, I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned. So a loaf of bread knocked over a tent and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped God. And he returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up! The Lord has given us the Midianite camp in your hands. Get up. Let's get going. Acted upon those things. The key to this, when God gives you a vision or a dream, ask him, what does it mean if you don't know? And then as he reveals the meaning, it's to proceed in it, to walk in it faithfully. It may sound crazy, may sound ridiculous, but that's because that's what your mind thinks. To God, there's nothing crazy, there's nothing ridiculous. Because all things are possible. Just like a virgin bearing a child who's the Son of God. The angel says, all things are possible with God. That's crazy, that's ridiculous. But in faith, we accept it and we believe in what Jesus has done for us and is doing through within us. Daniel 7:1 says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. And then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. And you can read the whole chapter. The whole book of Daniel is full of visions and dreams. For the present time and for end times. in Genesis chapter 41. I'm not going to read you that, but you can read this yourself. Pharaoh dreams. And he gets them interpreted. Revelation 19, 5 and then verse 10. Then the voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you servants and those who fear him, both small and great." And this is John says, "At this I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, 'Do not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus.'" This is John seeing the vision of the book of Revelation and what is happening. God works in those things. But are we going to act upon it? And I want to ask, Tommy shared with me a couple of weeks ago a testimony that just blew my mind about this very thing. There you go. Mm-hmm.
It was actually the Sunday before we went on vacation, Pastor Mike and I prayed and, you know, how hopefully that we can go and touch others when we're on vacation. So when we got down to Disney, it was the first or second night, I guess, or the first night, yeah, I prayed, you know, what does that mean? What can we do down there? And I guess right before I woke up, I had a dream, and the Lord showed me that there's someone particular at the park that we were going to today that needed to be uplifted, and he showed me exactly where that person would be, kind of what he looked like, that it was a man that day. So when I woke up, I shared that with my family, and Abby said, "Well, I can color a picture." So she did that, and when we were at that park, we got to that particular place, and I looked over, and there was the man. And I said, "There he is. We got to go get him." We actually had to chase the guy around. And when we got to him, we gave him the picture, and he just lightened up. He was a maintenance worker, and that happened almost every day when we were there. I had that same dream in the morning, and who the person was going to be, and that they needed to be uplifted, and you could just tell that that's exactly what happened. And there was one other instance when we were, I guess his work was coming through and kind of just put us in a place. There was a store that we needed to be in, and there was a woman that had just gotten kind of reamed out by a customer, and she was, embarrassed, and we gave her, one of the pictures there, and that just, changed her mood. It kind of, helped her, I guess, get through that day then. So thank you, and God, thank you for what you do, and God bless you on every one of those drawings.
Thank you. Amen. God is still moving in dreams and visions. There's a trend going on in our Christian colleges, and we're just about done here. There's a trend, and there's a book written about this trend. It's called Treasure Hunt. You know what some of our Christian college students are doing? They're getting together on a Friday night, Thursday night, whenever, at 7, 8 o'clock, and praying. And as they are praying, they're asking the Holy Spirit to show them specific people that they're supposed to minister to that night. That's their treasure. So somebody will say, "I see a person, or I feel a person wearing a red and yellow striped shirt." Someone else might say, "Well, he might be here." So they literally split up based on whatever God shows them as they were praying, and go search the whole town for that person. And then when they find him, they would stop and pray for him. This is actually going on. And this is what God is doing. He's still giving us dreams and visions. Don't discount what God is showing you. Don't discount. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do those things mean? Whether it's through prompting, conviction, or dreams and visions. God is speaking to us through these means. These are just some of the ways And we're going to continue talking about the other ways. But I want to encourage you, as I've been doing last 2 weeks, this week, make a concerted effort, a purpose effort. Lord, what are you trying to say to me? Show me. If you're sitting down to pray or read your Bible like you normally do, and something is just not flowing, maybe God just wants you to listen to him. Just to be still and listen to him. Take advantage of those things. And it doesn't have to be long. God can show up like that and speak to you what he wants to speak to you, or show you what he wants to show you. Just like this morning, my head popped 1 Corinthians 15:2. Or it could be pressing into it and not giving up as the Lord is just testing our resolve. Yes, Lord, show me. I'm not letting go till I hear from you. God is faithful when we are faithful to do our part. I want to do something right now. I want to take a moment and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. I charge you and encourage you to do this at home, but I want to see. I want to take a moment right now to just go into the presence of God for a couple of moments. And I want you to seek his face right now. And if God, he may not give anyone, but if he does, gives you something. If you're comfortable to share it, feel free. If you're not, that's fine. You can just say, he did show me something. But we're going to just go before the Lord right now. And just be still and just listen for a couple of minutes and see what the Holy Spirit does.